Well, it's good once again that you can come here and to open the Word of God and to look at what God has said to us. Does anyone enjoy yesterday? Those who go to the camp? I do. Because I say to some of the brothers and sisters here, you know, even though we come from a different culture and background, because of Jesus, we are all connected. Because in the heaven, you know, there's no such thing that you are Indian here, Chinese there, Anglican here, Catholic there. No, we are in the family of God. And we can share so freely because of the love that Jesus has for me. And that love transcends to one another. How beautiful it is to become the children of God and to belong to the family of God. You know, once again, it is such a privilege that we can come again to look at the Word of God. I call this book The Instruction of Life. And it teaches us how we should live and conduct ourselves. Now, I consider myself privileged because I can share with you without the fear of harassment and persecution of our Lord Jesus. You know, if you look at other countries, they don't have this sort of privilege. The freedom in this country here, we can, I don't know for how long. You know, all the more, we should not take it for granted, the precious word of the Word of God. You know, in the world, people look at this like a storybook, doesn't mean anything to us. But to us, who hold firm for the faith that we have through our Lord Jesus, each time you come to look at this word, it means something. But if you come next time again, looking at the same chapter, the Holy Spirit opened up another channel. It means something to you. That's why they call it the living book. To us, it's a living book. So, you know, when I prepare this message, it's always challenged my spiritual walk and remind myself where I stand. Because each time the elders approach me, Chris, can you speak? I got a desire to say no because it's such a hard work. You got to prepare yourself and you got to let the Holy Spirit in you and to share what you find. Well, it's easier to sit down here and listen to other people. Why do I have to pray? But I take it as a challenge. So I pray that the message that I prepare today is not myself, but the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that it may continue to stir our passion and our faith as we walk in this world. You know that all of us know that we all eventually will go home. And we know for those who call Jesus Christ our Lord, and we know where we are heading. So I pray that this message will continue to stir your heart as it is to me. Now I have been given the responsibility to continue with the book of Luke. And the title today is a Christmas for All. Now, there's five speakers, I'm third on the list. And the subject today is the continuation of the first two sermons. And just a quick summary, because the Bible that I'm reading, in order to understand it, you have to sort of like a quick summary to understand what it is all about. The first two sermons is regarding about Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Mary, okay? And Zechariah is a priest, and the wife's name is called Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. So they walking all the commandments and live in righteousness. And they live a life of blameless. But there's only one thing. They have no children. Because Elizabeth was barren. And one more thing. They are both advanced in year. Advanced in year, you know what I mean old. So God sent an angel to tell Zechariah, say, this is important, you see. God has heard your prayer. God has heard your prayer. You see, your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. That baby, you see, John, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. So that child grew up to be John the Baptist. He is the forerunner of the Lord Jesus, and he will prepare the way for the Lord, and he tells his people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of sin. So he will be to announce to the world that Jesus was the one they had been waiting for. Remember this, in the time of John the Baptist, to the last prophet, there were 400 years of silence there. So John is a forerunner. He's telling to the world, Jesus is the one that you've been waiting for. And so it was when Jesus came to John the Baptist. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world." John is a preparation for Jesus. So after that, Elizabeth became pregnant after Zechariah did the service. And Elizabeth, she hid herself for 5 months, saying, "The Lord has dealt with me in the day when he looked to me to take away my reproach among the people." So God answered their prayer and blessed Elizabeth's son, which is called John. Now in the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel again, Angel Gabriel, to Mary. And the angel told her, he said, "You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." Now Mary, obviously in shock and puzzle, she said, "How can it be? I'm a virgin. This thing that never happened before, how can it be?" And they could actually take place. And the angel tell her that, he say, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, who is not able to have kids, she is in her 6 months of pregnancy. For with God, nothing will be impossible. For with God, nothing will be impossible. So to respond to Mary and say, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her. Now Mary trusts God's word and accept it. Even though she would have realized that there is a huge challenge in front of her, the gossip of the people, "Come on, and I don't know, man, now I'm pregnant. What about Joseph, the man he's going to get married? What will he think?" But she accepts the challenge. She cannot contain her joy, her amazement and puzzle. She has to go to see Elizabeth. She wants to share, to tell Elizabeth what the angel has revealed to her. So I'm going to continue on with Luke chapter 1. From verse 39 onward. And that's a summary for the first. Shall we commit this time to the Lord? Oh, Father, thank you once again, Lord, that we can so freely come together in your name to open your word. And I pray to you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will continue to stir our heart. And may you use me, Lord, so that everyone who hear this word will get encouraged. May you continue to help us, Lord, as we trust in you, and you help us along our way, continue with the good fight. So, Lord, we just want to commit this meeting in your hand and pray this in Jesus' name. All right, so we read together in Luke chapter 1 from verse 39 onward. So, now, Mary arose in those days and went into hill country with haste to a city of Judah. Remember, Mary was in Nazareth. So she just hurried up and she had to go and see Mary. But in order to visit Elizabeth, she had to leave the place where she's living and go to the city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voices of your greetings sounded in my ear, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. And he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He has put down the mighty from their throne and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our father, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. May the Lord bless and reveal his word to us. Amen. Remember that Mary had left Nazareth and now go to the hill country in Judah. Now Mary arrived. He entered the house and start to greet Elizabeth. Now I want you to imagine, when you read this story here, I want you to imagine to be there. So Mary just entered the house and they greet Elizabeth. Now, we don't know whether Elizabeth saw Mary first or the other way around. He didn't say that, Bible didn't say it. But all he said, or just heard her voice. However it was, as soon as Mary gave her greeting, and said, Elizabeth, is Mary here? As soon as I say that, Elizabeth, in her own word, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ear, the baby on my womb leaped for joy. Mary's voice has an effect on the baby Elizabeth was carrying, was jumping around. Now, it is important to recognize why John the Baptist was leaped for joy. Inside the baby ear, why he started? It started with the Holy Spirit. Because the angel told Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, 25, see, that John Baptist will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother womb. Now, at the same time, John the Baptist was kicking with joy, hearing Mary's voice. His mother, Elizabeth, was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to praise God for what is being done through Mary, because they can sense the presence of the Lord Jesus. Now, God wants us to know this morning, as we come together, we need to bring this same sense of joy in our heart. Why? Because Jesus said, if two or three in my name, Jesus said that, I'll be there in the midst. You know, as we're all sitting here, Jesus is here. So the question I ask this morning is, when we come to the Lord present here in this church, are we moved? Are we moved like John the Baptist, the leap for joy? Or are you still bringing the baggage of this world with you to this church? God knows you than what you know yourself. You know, he set up the simple bread and the simple wine, so that it reminds ourselves where we stand in the faith that we have for our Lord Savior. You know, as we live day by day, we're bound to get affected by the world that we live in. Life is precious. Every day is a new beginning. The Lord wants us to live a life full of joy, full of peace. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, as we live each day, we don't know what tomorrow brings. Matthew chapter 6 reminds us that, you know, we are a creature of worry. We worry about everything that happens around us. Matthew chapter 6 reminds us not to worry about everyday life, I mean every single day, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. Life is more than food. And your body is more than your clothing. And the Lord wants us to look at the bird. He said they don't plant or store harvest, but the Heavenly Father feed them. You are more valuable to Him than they are. Can all your worry at a single moment in your life. God wants us, as we accepted Jesus as our personal Savior, your old man is dying. So God wants us to continue the new man that is in us, the new creation. He says, do not conform to the world, but renewing of your mind. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look into His wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Joy comes from God and God alone. We are not growing spiritually because we don't really believe God can. We have prayed for weeks, for months, perhaps years. You're giving up on God. Don't give up. God has a special blessing on each and every one of us who claim Jesus as their own personal Savior. You know, all of us, as we call children of God, God has a purpose in this world, in God's kingdom. For with God, nothing will be impossible. So where do you stand in the presence of God at the moment as you listen to me? God sowed the seed in your heart. Where does it fall? Is it on fertile ground is growing? We need to grow spiritually. Or it stopped growing now. It got stunned because of all the temptation, or I call it the weed of the world, suck away the nutrient around the plant that you're growing. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were both righteous before God. They were walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They live in righteousness. So is Mary. They're all favored by God. And God blessed them tremendously. Now Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she speak out with a loud voice and say, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. When Elizabeth said that, there's nothing Mary have to say to her. Mary don't have to explain anything to her. Remember in those days, when Mary go and see Elizabeth, they don't have social media, they don't have Wi-Fi, they don't have internet, they don't have WhatsApp, WeChat, Facebook, or even a phone. Mary didn't tell Elizabeth anything about this. So the excitement of the loud voice of Elizabeth by saying that have eliminated all the puzzles she had, because remember Mary wanted to tell Elizabeth what the angel is telling her. As soon as she greeting her, Elizabeth in turn know what's going on here. And Mary had witnessed the mighty hand of the work of God in front of her, and the full assurance of all the promise of God. Can you imagine the joy and the assurance that Mary had? So Elizabeth tell Mary, say, God has blessed you among all women, and your child is blessed. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord will do what He said. Just imagine, you are married. You have been approached by the angel with the message from God. And the wonderful promises by all the prophets will be fulfilled by the child that you carry. And you have been chosen among all the women to have the responsibility to bring up this child, and God has found you favor. Verse 46, Mary was humble and she responded. What can she say? She responded, "Oh, how my soul praise the Lord. How my spirit rejoice in God my Savior." Her focus now was on God, not on herself. Mary was filled with joy at the coming of the Messiah, and she realized what it was, a gift from God, and it filled her with joy. You know that when we come to the church, do we have the same response saying, "Oh, how my soul praise the Lord," of what we believe, the faith that we have? "How my soul praise the Lord." Or our mind still lingering on the outside world. "My soul praise the Lord because He has removed the veil which blind me from the truth of God. It's been taken away. And He has shown me His love and mercy. What have I done to receive such a blessing? To be called the children of God? I have done nothing. By the mercy of God, God has found me favor to be included in God's kingdom, to be called the children of God. What have I done? God is so rich in mercy and He loves us so much. Even though we were dead because of our sin, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. God saved you by His grace when you believe. And you can't take credit of this. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. It's not by anything that you have done. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that you have done. We have heard so many people say, "I'm a good person. I've done a lot of good things. I do a lot of brownie point. Yeah, God will take a favor from me." This is not what the Bible tells me. It's by the grace of God. When I prepared this message, you know, I pray to God, please. I hope that the word that I prepare is not from me, but by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I think I'm going to run out of time, to be honest, because when I practice it, it's smack bang on half an hour. I've gone overboard a bit. Because in the passion that we have for our Lord Jesus, because of the faith that we have. But anyway, let's continue on and see how it goes. So salvation is not a reward of the good things that we have done. So no one can boast about it. I do a lot of good things, okay? It's only by the grace of God. Okay? Now, because of Jesus, you are no longer a stranger or a foreigner. You are now a citizen among with all the God's holy people. You are members. You are now members of God's family. It's just like yesterday. We all go to celebrate Christmas in Ravish House. We all come together because we are belonging to God's family. How good is that? Even better, you know, when we go to heaven. All nation, all everything because of your faith. Praise Him, praise Him. Let all the people who call upon the name of the Lord praise His holy name. Oh, how my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. In verse 48, Mary was humble when she said, "For He took notice of this lowly servant, and from now all generation will call me blessed." Now Mary realized she was only a lowly servant, and the God of the universe, the creator of the world, had looked down on her with favor. She was humbled by what God had done for her and through her. 49, "For the Mighty One is holy, and He has done great things for me, and He has shown mercy from generation to all who fear Him." Now, Mary recognized that she was nothing. She is nothing without the blessing from God. Brother and sister, as we call ourselves believer, all our blessing come from God. You come to this world with nothing, and that's how you finish when you depart on this world. All the possession and that you have in this world is the blessing from God. So what are you going to do with it? We have the responsibility to use it wisely. All the more with our other brother and sister in Christ, we use it so we can rejoice together in the Lord with gratitude in our heart. Psalm 103 reminds us, he says, our day is just like glass, like a flower of the field, it flourishes, but the wind blows away and it's gone, its place remembered no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness is to children, and to such to keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandment to do them. So what he's trying to tell us, to live a life of righteousness. Verse 51, 52, it says, his mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the holy one, and he has brought down princes from their throne and exalted the humble. Mary compared those that are proud and holy and be humble. In the world that we live in today, the world teach you very different from what we learn from the Bible here. The world teach you about self-interest, me first. Everything around the world is about me first, put me first. And sometimes at the expenses for the unfortunate, you're taking advantage of others, self-interest. It's very brutal. That's why the world hates you, not because of who you are, but who you believe, our Lord Jesus. And they know who you are simply by your fruit, the way you live. Now for God, for those people who reject God's mercy, all they care about is themselves. They never have enough. They have a big hole in their heart. They can never be filled, always hollow, like an empty bottom. You feel it, it's never be filled. And the result is the destruction of the choices they make in life, the bad choices. God told us to be humble. For we trust him. In him, we have everything. Because God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty-handed. Now, we have a merciful God. Regardless of who you are, the condition that you are in, rich or poor, down or out, his desire is that you repent your sin. Matthew chapter 5 reminds us, if you repent your sin, that you may be son of your Father in heaven, for he make the sun rise on the evil and also on the good, and he send rain on the just and also on the unjust. God wants to fill your life with good things. You know, I saw a quote from someone who said to me, science, if you talk about science, science say we need four basic elements to survive. You need water, you need air, you need food, and also you need light. Look at what the Bible tells us about Jesus. I am the living water. I am the breath of life. I am the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. You know, science was right. We need Jesus to live. Now, are you hungry with the good things which are from the Lord? Are you hungry for that? Then you have to walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. continue to live the new man, which transforms the way that you are. Hold firm for the faith. God always sends the rich away empty. You know why? Because he puts self-interest first. God reminds all of us, all the blessing is from him. You come to this world with nothing, you end up with nothing. So don't store up your treasure here on earth. Because where your treasure is, the desire of your heart will be also. So where is the desire of your heart now? Are you focused the treasure on this world, which will not last, which we will not bring along? Or you focus on the everlasting eternal, forever and ever and ever and so on? Don't tell me on the last day when it's time for us to go, we're lying on the bed and say, oh, I'm just about to depart. Send me a bank account book, look at the statement, see how much I have. You look at it, wow, I have this much money, and then you go. What does it mean to you? Nothing. You come to this world in nothing, you end up in nothing. You come to this world, you started with the door. That's a journey in pilgrimage this way, and this is how you end up as well. I got more to say, but I had to shorten it. Mary, see, verse 54, 55, say, he has helped his servant Israel in remember his mercy, and he spoke to our father, to Abraham, and his seed forever. Mary lived in the life of righteousness, so is Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they remember all the commandment of the Lord, and they follow it. So they live a life of righteousness, and God found favor in them. God used them and blessed them. The birth of John and Jesus is the prophecy of the Old Testament, and it's all been fulfilled. God's timing and our timing is totally different. You know, we've been taught, if you want something, you want it now. If you want to pray on something, next few hours, next few days, it didn't happen. And you give up. It's all God's timing. It's all on God's plan. Because when you pray, God knows, you don't know. The result of your prayer is all about God's purpose. It's not of yourself. We are all here as we call children of God. All of us have a purpose. We are all here to give a great commission. As you live in this world, we are just like John, the forerunner for Jesus, to tell to the whole world who Jesus is. What's the job of John? The Lamb of God who came to take away the world, the sin of the world. And Jesus has now passed on this commandment to you. Go ye to all the world to tell them all about me. As we go, as we get more and more information, I call it information overload now. Turn on the Wi-Fi, you can know your news instantly. And you can see the result of the world that we live in. It's a mess. And you know, the coming of the Lord is very near. If it's not in our generation, it'll be pretty soon. So, as a Christian, if we sit here, what are we going to do with the grace that God has given us as we live day by day? I just have to close it. We need one another. We need to help each other as we journey in this world to fulfill whatever God has planned in your world. We tend to stick together in our own race and our culture because we feel comfortable. But God's grace and mercy is for everyone, regardless of who they are. In God's kingdom, there's only one family. And God can use you from the youngest to the oldest. The Bible has recorded many things from the youngest to the oldest. King, young baby David, killed Goliath, just a young man. Abraham, an old man leading the people. So God used people. If only you have a willing heart and a good attitude. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. God desires to have a closer relation to all of us. And he go out all the way to make a covenant to Abraham. And throughout the century, he has sent an angel and prophet to remind all of us the way that we should live. He even sent his son, Jesus. God has done everything. He sent a prophet, sent an angel, sent everything to remind us how we should live. And say, I can't do more. I'm going to send my son Jesus into this world. That's why Jesus sent on the cross there. It is finished. I have done everything about the human being. It is finished. Nothing to be done. For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So as we celebrate Christmas, I know it's only 2 weeks from now. We celebrate Christmas. The world is, the focus on Christmas is very different on what we believe. They focus more on Santa. Whether the world like it or not, Christmas is about spiritual. Christmas Day is the day we set aside to remember. You know, we go out at the moment, a lot of you probably buy Christmas present. You want to show your loved one, oh, I love you, this is a present I give to you. Hopefully the gift, we give him some joy, open up, wow, this is what I get, I'm so happy. But it only lasts a while, for a short time. But God had given a Christmas present on all of us. Jesus Christ. And the joy that you can get out of it is forever. Not only temporary. God is always there. We are the one who's running away. God sent Jesus into our life. May the Lord bless this. I pray that the word come from me, it's not from myself, but the guidance of the Holy Spirit. As always, when you prepare the message, you get more out of it than those people who hear about it, because you put so much effort and time about it. So I hope it stir up your passion for Christ. Continue with the good fight. Stay on the path until the day Lord calls us home. We don't know when our time's up. God knows. But the most important thing is we know where we are heading. That's the main thing. As we pilgrim in this world, we're bound to have problems. But we got the Holy Spirit to help us. And we got a brother and sister to help us. Let's continue to encourage one another as we journey in this world. Shall we close in prayer? Father in heaven, thank you so much once again for your blessing that you have been given to each and every one of us, that we can so freely to open your word. Help us, Lord, not to neglect for the faith that we have. May you continue to help us day by day to stir up our passion for you as we live day by day when we wake up in the morning, and help us to remind ourselves what it is all about, what's life all about, Lord. We thank you so much for your son, Jesus, that through him we have everything, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. So once again, as we depart in this place here, and for those people who's going overseas back to their hometown, I pray for safety, mercy for them. Lord, I also pray each and every one of us here today, Lord, may your Holy Spirit will continue to help us, Lord, to hold firm for the faith that we have for you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.